Well, we're going to get into God's Word, as we always do in fellowship, and we're going to start in Acts chapter 2. Most of you know that we've been doing this little session on manifesting God's power. We've gone over each manifestation, looking at it. The desire for this, or the means for this, is to first of all learn what it is if we don't know, but most of us have been instructed quite a bit in the manifestations, but to grow in it. It's not something that you just do and never get better at. We continue to grow in a knowledge of God's Word and an application of the Word and an application of the manifestations. It's something we just continue to grow in. It's not like a light bulb that's either on or off. It's something that we continue to. The power is the same. It's just that we grow in our ability to manifest. So today we're going over the first manifestation, which is speaking in tongues. Last week we went over who does the operating of the Holy Spirit, whether it's God Almighty, whether it's you, whether it's some surgeon. But as 1 Corinthians 12:11 says, that all these worketh that one and the self same Spirit, dividing to every man separately as he wills. And it's the individual who does the willing. It's the individual who does the operating. God wants us to do it, but we have to do the actual operating. So today we're going to go over speaking in tongues, and the first mention of speaking in tongues, as you know, is in Acts chapter 2. And in verse 4, we read, very common verse of scripture to us. It says, "And they were all filled," referring to the 12 apostles, "with the Holy Ghost," or Holy Spirit, "and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit," referring to God, "gave them utterance." And this is the first place that it's mentioned where people spoke in tongues. And as we know, it's the day of Pentecost, 12 apostles in the temple, manifesting. They had just gotten born again. And the first thing they did was speak in tongues. And God chose speaking in tongues as the mark for showing that you're born again. Now, they did this because of what Jesus had told them back in chapter 1, which we're going to take a look at. In verse 4, they simply followed that, the directive of Jesus Christ. And verse 4, it says, "And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem." And this was on the day of Ascension. "But wait for the promise of the Father, which saith thee, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days hence." And as you follow this through, there was a 10-day gap. The day of Pentecost finally comes. They're in the temple, they're praying, and they receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And the first thing they did was speak in tongues. Speaking in tongues. So, pretty cool. As you know, there's other incidents in God's Word in the book of Acts that deal with speaking in tongues. Quite a few of them. And it was the norm to speak in tongues once you got born again in the first century church. You'd hear the Word and get born again and spoke in tongues. And that was the norm. The first time that didn't happen, that it's recorded in the Bible, is when Philip went down to Samaria. He spoke the word, did a lot of signs, miracles, and wonders. They got born again, the people that believed, and they didn't speak in tongues. And so word got back to Jerusalem that, hey, a lot of people got born again, nobody speaking in tongues. They send Peter and John down. They operate manifestations. Of revelation manifestations to find out the cause of the problem and lead them into speaking in tongues. So, you know, when it wasn't, when it didn't happen, that was considered unusual. And today's day, because the knowledge of speaking in tongues has been pretty much buried in the denominational church, it's not a norm, but it's supposed to be. It's God's will that when you get born again, speak in tongues. Why wait? So, I mean, you look at Cornelius, when Cornelius and his household had gotten together, and Peter went to their household, and Peter's speaking and teaching God's word, and while he's still speaking, they started speaking in tongues. Didn't even want to wait. They were excited. They didn't want to wait. So, I thought I'd give the definition. A definition worked out in the Walking in God's Power class, and that is that the manifestation of speaking in tongues is your operation of the God-given ability whereby you bring forth words in a language which you do not understand, as the Spirit, with a capital S, referring to God, gives the utterance. So basically, you're speaking forth in a language that you haven't learned, that you don't understand, as God gives you the utterance. And we see that in Acts 2:4, again, where it says, and they, referring to the apostles, were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit, God, gave them utterance. So how's this happen? How does a person actually speak in tongues? Well, God gives the words to your spirit, and then you begin to speak, and you manifest them out. That's how it works. They began. They just started speaking, and God gave them the words to speak. As they spake, God gave them the words. So it's pretty cool. Now let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. I'm going to answer a couple questions that normally would come up. I think most of it's been around speaking in tongues for so long, it's just part of our, you know, everyday living and thinking. But think about when the first time you heard about speaking in tongues, first time you had ever heard of it, you know, one of the things you would think is, how do you do all this stuff? What is this that you're doing? I mean, how many people did you know when you were 10 years old that just could speak the language that they didn't learn? I mean, to me, when I first heard it, it was like, you can actually speak a language you never learned? I tried to learn French in high school. I had a real difficult time. Now you can speak a language that you didn't go to school for, nobody taught you. It was quite amazing in my thinking. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, a question that could come up is, do you understand what you're speaking in tongues? Like, I understand when I'm speaking in English most of the words I say. Right? It's just kind of the way it is. If you've learned Spanish or Japanese or any of the other language, you basically know the words that you're speaking. Well, is that the same when it comes to speaking in tongues? Well, 1 Corinthians 14, chapter 14, verse 2, answers that. And it says, for he that speaketh in a unknown is improperly supplied. Speaketh in a tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God, for no man understandeth him. It should be removed also. Understandeth, howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. We do not literally understand the words that we're speaking. We understand what we're doing. And maybe let's say you spoke some language like Japanese. Somebody else can say, hey, that's Japanese. But it doesn't mean you understand. You'll never understand the words that you speak in tongues, per se, as far as, it's not, because it's not coming from the mind. It's coming from the Spirit of God in you. And you yourself will never understand those words. It's just pretty wild. So if you don't understand what you're saying, why would you want to speak in tongues? You know, why Why would we want to ever speak in tongues if we don't know what the heck we're saying? I mean,
really, I didn't think about it.
And the reason is pretty simple. Because God wants to have us do it.
Because.
So let's look at 1 Corinthians 14, verse 39. If God says to do it, that's good enough reason. Verse 39 says, "Wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy and forbid not to speak with tongues." God wants us to do it. Therefore, we should be willing to do it. And then it would be up to us to figure out, you know, if we still need to know why, and figure out why in God's word. Would God want us to do that? And I thought we'd look at some of the wonderful benefits of speaking in tongues. We're going to go to Romans chapter 8. Why speak in tongues? Because God says to do so. But within that, God has shown and shows in his word many wonderful things of what speaking in tongues is good for, what it does, the benefits of speaking in tongues. And this one is really a great one. I tell you, this really blessed my life when I first did this. Romans 8, verse 14. Speaking in tongues is proof of the new birth. It's proof that you are a son of God. Chapter 8, verse 14 says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption or sonship, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." The first spirit use of the use of spirit refers to the spirit in its totality, the new birth spirit in its all its totality, and the second one is in reference in use of the spirit of man or the issues of life to come from man. So the spirit itself, the totality of the new nature, which includes speaking in tongues, manifesting in the gift of the Holy Spirit, bears witness with our spirit, with our own life, that we are the children of God. So if you can speak in tongues, that's proof that you have the Spirit of God in you. If you have the Spirit of God in you, you are his kid. And sometimes we may get very used to the idea that we're sons of God. But when you're hungry and thirsting and wondering whether you're a son of God or not, it's nice to have something that proves to you beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're a son of God. I remember the first time I heard Romans 10, 9, and 10, and I thought, oh, I'm going to do that. I didn't know if I had done it as a kid. I mean, from the time I can remember, believed in Jesus Christ and believed that he rose from the dead, but didn't realize that that was the, how you get born again. So I thought, well, I'm going to just confess Jesus as Lord. I'm going to do it out loud. I must have done it 1,000 times. Jesus is Lord. I say it all different ways. I'd say it different places. I'd say it different times. I said it quietly to myself. I said it out loud. I said it really out loud. I mean, I did all kinds of things because I just want to make sure I did it. I did it right. I had no proof in my own heart that I had done it right. I just was unsure. And when I learned about this and then I first spoke in tongues, I never said it again. I never said Jesus is Lord. I was settled. I knew for sure I was a son of God. It just took all the question, that little, because eternal life is a big thing to miss when you're not sure. You know, we do confirmations on airline tickets and a lot of things. You want to make sure you got it, or a hotel room for something that you really want. You know, we want to make sure you got that hotel room and you confirm. Well, it's our confirmation for a son of God. It's the only one in God's word. Is manifesting the Spirit of God. What a way to know. So how loving God was when on the day of Pentecost, those guys received the gift of Holy Spirit, and the first thing they did, spoke in tongues, they knew they had gotten it. They got the promise of the Father. How exciting that must have been. We got it. There wasn't any inkling of a doubt. Peter, what do you think? Do you think we got the Spirit of God in us? Did we receive that promise? They knew. They were absolutely certain. So that's one of the benefits of speaking in tongues. That within your life, you absolutely know you're a son of God because you can speak in tongues. So let's go to Romans 8 again, verse 26. Another thing that is a wonderful attribute of speaking in tongues is that it allows us to pray perfectly. And in verse 26, it says, likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he, or it, makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And this verse is really wonderful in light of its context. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. And in context of this prayer, intercession, by way of the Spirit, it's speaking in tongues. Like Elke, we know she fell. I don't know a whole lot of other details. Or her son, Henry, they need prayer for healing. If we just pray in English only, it is a prayer, and it's an authentic prayer. But when we speak in tongues of those people, that Spirit of God in us is interceding and knows perfectly what the need is. Pretty cool. It's a perfect prayer. It's the only thing that we can do perfectly. So, but it's what a wonderful thing that is, an avenue of prayer. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 14. It's an avenue of prayer. Verse 14 says, for if I pray in a, unknown should be scratched, if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. 1 Corinthians 14:15, for what is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. So praying in the Spirit is speaking in tongues. So when we speak in tongues, we're praying in the Spirit. It's perfect intercession for the saints. What an aid to the church. And that Spirit of God knows what to do. Pretty cool. I don't understand how it all works. But there is a connection between God and the Spirit in us, and when we speak in tongues, God's involved. I don't understand it, but there it is. Another thing that it does is that it allows us to give thanks well. In verse 17, while we're right there in chapter 14, for thou verily givest thanks well, but the other is not edified, referring to when, if you were just standing in a room speaking in tongues, or even sitting in a room. And this is dealing, as we know, with the church, in a church setting, a believer setting, where they're gathered. If you just spoke in tongues, like if Chris was just sitting there out loud speaking in tongues, I mean, he's giving thanks well, but we don't know, we're not getting blessed. You know, there are certain reasons for why we do what we do when we do them, but speaking in tongues does give thanks well. Another thing it does for us is it edifies us. Verse 4 of chapter 14. He that speaks in a tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church. So one of the things we do when we speak in tongues is we're edifying ourselves, we're building ourselves up. When I first got in the Word, there was a guy I was speaking the Word to, and he said, oh, the worst thing to do is speak in tongues. This is a very selfish thing to do. You don't want to speak in tongues. You're being very selfish. You should prophesy. Because if you prophesy, you edify the church. But if you speak in tongues, you're only concerned about yourself. I thought, boy, what a bad way of thinking things. God's desire is that we get edified. And this is one of the ways that we can build up our lives. I mean, we eat food to get edified and strengthened, right? Breathe to do that. Well,
This builds our lives up as we speak in tongues. It's a great thing to do. It's never a selfish thing to do. Another thing, verse 2, it says that we speak divine secrets when we speak in tongues. Verse 2, for he that speaketh in a tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth, howbeit in the spirit he speaks mysteries or secrets.
Again, when we're speaking in tongues, we're speaking to God Almighty. Do we understand what we're saying? No. It's okay. I don't know if a little infant understands what he's saying, or she's saying when she's real small and just doing babbling noises, and she's looking right at you and she's moving her mouth. But they seem to like to do it, and we like to see it and hear it. So, but we speak unto God when we're speaking in tongues, and when we're doing it, we're speaking divine secrets. So, we're whispering into God's ear a little secret. Let's go to Acts chapter 2. God just loves it when we speak in tongues. It just melts his heart. He wants us to do it when we speak in tongues. It's our spirit speaking divine secrets to him. He likes to hear that stuff. Do we understand everything about speaking in tongues? I don't. Do you? I don't understand what food does to my body, but I seem to keep eating. I don't understand the technical reasons and medical reasons, but chemical reasons and all the things that go on, but I do eat. Acts chapter 2, one of the things that it does when we speak in tongues is that we speak the horrible works of God.
No.
No.
This is on the day of Pentecost, and this response that we're going to read in verse 11 is from the people that were in the temple that heard the apostles speak in tongues, and they're trying to figure out what's going on, and this is their response. These are people that happened to be in the temple and heard what happened. And in verse 11 it says, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them, referring to those apostles, speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. So when we speak in tongues, we are speaking forth the wonderful works of God. We're speaking about how great God is, what great things he has done, how great things he continues to do, whatever it is. God's done a lot of work. And when we speak in tongues, those words refer to God's wonderful works. It's a wonderful thing. Just go on for hours. And he hears that. And it's a divine secret. But that's why these are called the utterance manifestations. Remember, the manifestations are grouped based on what they actually do. So they're... There is no description in God's word. It says utterance manifestation. But from working the word, it's, you know what you can call them, the utterance manifestations or speaking manifestations, worship manifestations. But it's easy to see why. They spoke in our tongues the wonderful works of God. So when we speak in tongues, we're speaking forth the wonderful works of God. Another thing we're doing is, in Acts chapter 10, when we speak forth, we magnify God. God so desires for his people to speak in tongues because it is a magnification of God Almighty. And this is that record with Cornelius and his household, where God had sent an angel down to tell Cornelius, hey, I heard your prayers, or God's heard your prayers. It's a memorial before him. And go to Joppa, get Peter. He's going to come tell you how to get saved. And he jumped on that right away. Mm-hmm. Peter comes. Cornelius gets his whole household together. Peter arrives, and all these people there are anticipating hearing words that will bring salvation. He starts teaching. I don't know how long the whole thing was. But before he could finish, they all started speaking in tongues. What a day that was. And here's the description of it, verse 46. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Magnify God. Basically, to magnify means to make great, to enlarge, to praise. When we put something under a magnifying glass, of course, it makes it bigger. So the reading glasses, right? The little magnifying glasses makes the letters bigger. So when we speak in tongues, we are making God bigger. We're not making him bigger. He's as big as he gets. But he is bigger in our own thinking and in the thinking of the people who hear. Which is pretty cool. We are magnifying God in our own lives and for those who are around. Pretty cool. Really wonderful. So God does want us to speak in tongues. And how do you speak in tongues? Well, it's quite easy. Just speak in tongues. I mean, on the day of Pentecost, there was nobody there to lead them in the tongues. Jesus had told the apostles before he ascended into heaven, you know, that record in John 20, he breathed in and said, "Receive ye the Holy Spirit." You know, they breathed in. They were breathing on the day of Pentecost. And when they received, they just started speaking. Boom. The believers in Cornelius' household, same thing. They just started speaking. So all we do is think through the mechanics of speech, which are, you got to open your mouth. You got to move your tongue. You got to move your throat, which is a guttural sound, you know, because you can move your mouth and stay silent. You can move your mouth and move your tongue and still stay silent. But once you use your throat, now something's going to start coming out. And your tongue formulates that sound as it comes out. And boom, there you go. The only difference between speaking in tongues and speaking a language that you think you know is that the one that you think you know comes from your brain. The other one comes from Spirit of God in you, and God gives that spirit the words to speak. And then as you move your tongue, your throat, your lips, your mouth, words start formulating. Not through possession. There's nothing that's forcing it out. We do it. It says that they began to speak with tongues. They did it. And you just start speaking. It's really a cool thing. It's just such a wonderful, wonderful thing. And so easy to speak in tongues. So easy. The easiest people to lead into speaking in tongues are our kids. That I've noticed. Because they're not trying to think it through. They're not scared. They're not trying to control all the circumstances. They just start speaking. And boom, out it comes. Adults sometimes have trouble because their brain gets in the way. So, but isn't that really wonderful how God designed speaking in tongues to do so many things? It's like that, it's almost like that Swiss Army knife. It does all kinds of stuff. One manifestation does lots of things. You know, it's worship. It provides worship for us, for God Almighty. It's a praise to God. Really a great thing. And the more we speak in tongues, the better it is for our own lives, because it does bring an edification to us. And what a lever of prayer it is. Just incredible. So it is by no surprise to us who know the scriptures that the devil would try to talk the church out of speaking in tongues centuries ago, because of all that it does. He can get people to realize and think, oh, it was only the apostles. You know, died with the apostles. What about all the other people who spoke in tongues? They never show that in the scriptures. Ooh, a lot of people spoke in tongues. Did everybody die at the same time with the apostles? As soon as they died, then nobody else could speak in tongues anymore. You know, but somehow or another, he got the first century church believers somewhere along in that transition were speaking in tongues, where the believers weren't doing it. And for centuries and centuries, it was only a handful of people that spoke in tongues. You know, people did it, but not. It was not front and central in the church, and still isn't in the denominational church. So he's done a great job of hiding it. And why would he want to do that? Well, look at what we just saw from the Word of what it does. He didn't want all that stuff happening. So we have a great privilege to be able to speak in tongues. And it's good to remind each other, speaking in tongues. Things that we can give ourselves to remind ourselves to speak in tongues. So it's terrific. Father God, thanks for blessing our lives and for the greatness of your Word and for what a privilege we do have to be able to speak in tongues day by day by day and hour by hour, and that we get to build ourselves up, we get to help people with it, we get to worship you and praise you and speak your wonderful works and to speak great secrets to you, to whisper into your ear great things about yourself. And for just being such a wonderful Father to us, to help us along and to show us and guide us, be very patient with us, and how you do continue to help us to know how to walk with and for you. And we're very grateful for that. We pray for the abundant sharing and for the faithfulness of each person here to just give financially to help your people in the state of New Jersey and wherever else needs may be to help have your Word proclaimed and spoken. And God, thanks for covering for our lives where we may fall short, and just helping us to walk for you and to help us to bless others and to stand for you. And we pray for the continual knowledge of your Word beyond our own ears, that your Word continues to flourish from generation to generation. Thank you for these things in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Wonderful truths. So, who would like to share, one person, how they first spoke in tongues or what their circumstances were when they first spoke in tongues? Perry?
Well, I was at a How for Abundant Living class down in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, and didn't know it was coming. It kind of broadsided me, but it was exciting to do, and I know the last class, I specifically asked if I could stand the rest of the class because I was so juiced, so excited, and so thrilled. It was really hard for me to sit still, and just realize what had happened. So it's exciting. And I know at times when circumstances or whatever, things happen, get those darts, you get doubting or whatever. You speak in tongues and it just brings it all back. We are children of God.
Yeah.
And what we have.
Yeah, what a thrill. When you know that you know. Robert?
I manifested first in Power for Mount Living also, but session 12 was like the day before Thanksgiving. And I was driving from Massachusetts down to New Jersey for Thanksgiving with my parents and the family. And at the time I had an MG rag top, so I put the top down and drove all the way down here in late November with the top down, speaking in tongues like crazy. Connecticut Turnpike and all the way home, So, did a lot of practice the first night.
What a thrill. Because you're not making it up. Maybe somebody else will say, hey, he's just making it up. But when you're doing it yourself, you absolutely, there's a convincing there. Really cool. Mary?
I spoke in tongues after my first fellowship.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, but I didn't know what I was doing. I was just so thankful. I was in my car driving home. I got to fellowship first time in Toms River, and I lived in Jackson. So I'm driving down the road you guys live off of, Cedar Bridge Road or something like that. And I'm just crying and praying and being very thankful. And all of a sudden I start speaking in this other language. And I'm like, okay, this sounds like a natural. And I just went with it. And I went back and talked to the WOWs the next day about what had happened. And one of them was kind of excited, and the other one was filled with wrong teaching and said, don't ever do that again until you get to session 12. What did I do wrong? And she totally backfired, which is why it's really important that we understand what the word really says about speaking in tongues, because I didn't do it anymore until session 12, and then I couldn't do it because so much fear had entered into my life. And it took being ministered to and loved into doing it again. And then, of course it was still there.
Right.
But, we really do need to know this stuff. Because then we know that it's the real thing in operation. And God can work in you, and you don't need a class. You need the Spirit. So it's really kind of interesting.
That's funny. It's not funny, but.
I want to,
don't do that.
I got led into speaking in tongues by, there were four of us that hung out together in high school. We were all friends. We all lived in the same neighborhood. And one of the girls had gotten witnessed to by her sister because they had gotten to the Word and taken a class in Rye, New York. So they taught her how to speak in tongues, and she taught all of us how to speak in tongues. I had never gone to a fellowship, and it was probably about 2.5 years later that I actually took a class. We were sitting in one of our girlfriend's apartment, I think it was Camille's apartment. Our friend wanted the three of us into speaking in tongues.
Cool.
That was.
So how did your friend learn it?
Her sister. We got into the Word in Rye, New York.
Oh, okay. All right.
So her sister had witnessed to her. She had gone to, I think, I don't really remember because it was so long ago. I don't even know if she'd actually even gone to a fellowship. She might have been to a couple of fellowships. Her sister got born again and taught her how to speak in tongues.
And she taught you guys.
Yeah.
Wow.
And that was it.
Huh.
And there were absolutely no believers in that area at all. The closest believers were over an hour away. They were in Boston, so there was nothing there.
Right.
Is
that the Holy Spirit?
The Holy Spirit was there, yeah.
Yeah?
All three of, we all were born again. And,
isn't that wild?